G.I. Journal goes to press. Yes, sir, it's the G.I. Journal again, the special service radio newspaper of the AEF. Fellas, singers may come and singers may go, but there's one great singer that goes on and on. However, John Charles Thomas was out of town, so we bring you your editor-in-chief for this edition, Bing Crosby.
Hiya, men.
Hiya, Bing!
Well, this pleases me no end, fellas. Now, if you're ready, let's sweep Bob Hope's clippings into the wastebasket, and I'll dig you another edition of your G.I. Journal. This is the five-star edition, men, and right here with me are your five-star reporters. Lovely Linda Darnell to give the fore and aft and the port and starboard to those swell letters that you keep sending our way. We have Arthur Q. Bryan, the G.I. Beatrice Bearfax with advice for the lovelorn. Falstaff Openshaw with poetry and assorted piffle contributed by you men. John Scott Trotter and Trudy Irwin, melodically effective as always. Harry Mitchell, Mel Blanc, Pat McGeehan, and our roving reporter, Jimmy Durante, who should be out right now looking for a scoop. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Bingo. This is Jimmy.
Well, Jimmy, what have you got to report?
Do you want me to make it brief?
Yes, Jimmy, make it as brief as you can.
Okay, I'll make it as brief as I can.
What have you got to report?
Nothing.
Nothing? Then why did you ask me if you should make it brief?
I was gonna say absolutely nothing.
Well, listen, drop those dice and go out and get some news. How do you go about your work, anyway?
Well, when I starts out in the morning, I says to myself, I says, I must make good. I shall make good. I will make good. I can make good. I gotta make good. I'm gonna make good.
Well?
By the time I gets through, another day is gone by.
Well, I tell you, we got a lot of high-powered scriveners standing by here, so let's start spreading the ink and rolling the rollers. Right here on page one, column one, we have a colorful cut of John Scott Trotter and his group. Well, John Scott sort of spills over into column two, but Trudy and I will join him in a song called Wait For Me, Mary.
Wait for me, Mary.
I'll be there.
Till the world will smile again. Till a smile's in style again. And the dreams worthwhile again. Wait for me, Mary.
I'll be there by the moonlit garden gate, where my heart and I will wait for you.
There are so many things I want to tell you, little words that I never told before.
And I hope that it won't be hard to sell you all the dreams I have in store.
Wait for me, Mary, till the world sing again, till I bring my love again to you. There are so many things I want to tell you, little words that I've never told before.
And I hope that it won't be hard to sell you
all
the days I have in store.
So wait for me, Mary, till the world will sing again, till I bring my love.
Greetings, all you fighting men. Falstaff joins you once again.
Well, happy though we are to see you tonight, Falstaff, we must remind you that we are constrained to confine your readings to poems that the men have submitted to our Views to the Muses column. So shuck your private corn somewhere else.
Precisely why I am here. Just listen to this excellent bit of verse that Frank Bender, formerly of New York, now of Iceland, sent in. It's a lovely bit of voice. Voice? What am I saying? The title is Alas, Alack. What is a yak? Each spring I go to the circus to witness the tinsel charade of the mastodonic spectacle and animals on parade. But each spring, one thing at the circus continues to spoil my day. It's a weird and smelly quadruped. Its name is spelled Y-A-K. Alas, alack, what is a yak? It's hairy in front and bald in the back. It looks like a buffalo or one of those llamas. It could be a moose wearing hairy pajamas. It might be a horse whose skin is slack. Alas, alack, what is a yak? Sagging in front and dragging in back. Of the animal kingdom, he's the sad sack.
And so, with tongue in cheek, we thank you warmly, Falstaff. And that brings us to,
Hello, Bingo.
Jimmy, you're supposed to be at the front lines getting the story.
That's just where I am, and I'm digging myself a foxhole. But it's exaggerating work.
What kind of work?
But it's exaggerating work. I'm having lots of trouble with this Don Grofer.
With a gopher?
Yeah, he insists on making love.
Don't tell me, Jimmy, he thinks you're a gopher.
Of course not, Bing, but he thinks my nose is.
Well, has anything been happening there on the front lines?
To be sure, to be sure. I trust you are acquainted with Shakespeare. You don't pay no attention. Some guy here was showing me all about stripping weapons. He lets me try it, so I takes the thing apart. I takes off the trigger group. I takes off the stock group. I takes off the operating rod spring, the follower rod, the follower pin, the bullet guide, the operating rod catch assembly, the follower arm, and the follower. Just then I sees a German coming at me. So I puts back the follower. I puts back the follower arm. I puts back the operating catch assembly, the bullet guide, the follower pin, the follower rod, the operating rod spring, the stock group, and the trigger group. And there it is in one piece.
And you killed him.
How could I kill him? I don't know what it is I put together.
What a terrible situation that left you in, huh?
You can say that again, Bing, if you want to waste time.
Well, what happened?
I walked up to that German and I says, listen, rat, I always address as an enemy in the superlative. Let me take that line again.
Yes, go ahead, lad. Give it the full treatment.
I walked up to that German and I says, listen, rat, I always address as an enemy in the superlative.
Well,
practice and you can get anything.
Well, come now, Jimmy. What happened?
Well, I could see he's about to start shooting. I didn't want him to shoot at me, so I start shouting. He shoots, I shout, he shoots, I shout, he shoots, I shout. And then I discovers a very interesting fact.
What is it, Jimmy?
Shooting's better than shouting.
Now, coming up in the music section of this year's paper is a song we'd like to do with a deferential bow to our air forces called Riding Herd on a Cloud.
This old world is stampeding, said a lad, what it's needing is a cowhand in the sky. So I'm through roping dogies, let's corral those axis bogies. Give me a horse that can fly. Now he's riding herd on a cloud tonight. Left his spurs and his saddle on the range with his cattle, and he's now in flight with a crew of mighty hustlers on the lookout for some rustlers who might be sneaking up on Uncle Sam. Gave his horse up in trade for a course on how to saddle a plane and fly. Now he's in for the duration, hi-yi-yipping information with the cowboys of the sky. Someone back home feeling mighty proud. Praise for him, riding herd on a cloud
na-na-na.
Say, Editor Crosby, here's a letter from seaman Dick Dutton, who says he yearns to hear one of those windswept dramas of the old West he used to hear on the air. Can we give him one?
Well, sure, shooting. Yahoo! Hi-yo! Fine, hi-yo!
A gallant horse with speed of light, a clod of dirt, and a hearty hi-yo. Yes, it's the banker of the plains, the Lone Ranger, riding again.
Now, my prairie chickadee, I've got you what I want you.
Unhand that gal, sir.
Saved! It's the Lone Ranger. Say, where have you been?
I've been outside shooting dice with Pink Rider.
You mean the Red Rider?
He was red, but I faded him. Now, stranger, see here, now, draw your shooting iron before I blow you to Dante's Inferno.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, no. One more word and I'll let you have it.
Nuts.
That's not the word. Listen here, you sidewinder. I'm giving you 24 hours to take the first horse out of town.
Eh? What if I don't go, small fry?
Then I'll extend your leave. Look here now. I've had enough of your lip. We're going to have a showdown right now. We'll stand back to back, then we'll start walking while I slowly count to three. The count of three, we turn and fire. Whoever gets shot first is it. Ready? Load and lock. Flag is up. Flag is waving. Flag is down. Target's up. Remember, we fired the count of three. One. A two. Slow poke.
Oh, a ranger.
Yeah, girl. He'll sit here with me on this old splintered log. There now, I'll just slide a little closer to you.
Oh! What happened?
High hole sliver!
Well, well, looky here. It's our own G.I. Beatrice Bearfax to answer your problems of the heart, fellas. Arthur Q. Bryan.
Thank you, Mr. Crosby. And greetings, soldiers, sailors, and Marines.
I presume you have a touching problem this evening, Arthur?
Correct, Mr. Crosby. It's a letter from Private Wu Corbett in Alaska.
Tell me, what's his trouble?
Well, it seems this fellow Wu would like to pitch a little.
Very natural, very natural.
But Private Wu would like to know how to choose the right girl. He wants to know if beauty is very important.
And what do you think?
Oh, I think beauty is very important. Take my case, for example. My wife, Rosie Love, didn't have much personality. She wasn't very clever, and she wasn't particularly talented. But when it came to her face, boy, was hers a mess.
Arthur, how about describing your Rosie Love to me?
You want me to describe my Rosie Love to you?
That I do.
Okay, Mr. Crosby. Gee, you might even like her. You're a well-known horse lover.
Your inference, I take it, is that your Rosie Love is, shall we say, on the plump side?
Oh, you can say it if you like, but her side ain't the only thing that's plump.
I'm surprised you didn't change your mind about marrying her and leave her at the altar at the wedding.
Well, I was going to, but as I walked away, something seemed to pull me towards her. Something deep down in me.
Have you any idea what it was?
Yep. She had a firm grip on my suspenders.
I bet you married her for her money.
Yeah, I did, and she had a lot of money, too.
Loaded, huh?
Oh, boy, loaded. It was the usual success story. She went from dog's tails to ghosts.
Dog's tails to ghosts?
Yeah, you know, wags to witches.
Pages of your journal now, I find this material.
Whenever it a star breaks through, it's funny. It's not a star I see. It's always Whenever I roam through roses, and lately I often do. Honey, it's not a rose I touch, it's always you. If a breeze caresses me, it's really you strolling by. And if I hear a melody, it's merely the way you sigh. Wherever you are, you're near me, you dare me to be untrue. It's funny, each time I fall in love, it's always you.
Oh, Bing.
Well, Linda Darnell, gal, you seem a bit on the excited side tonight.
Well, I am, Bing. Look at this letter we received from Corporal George Tompkins in North Africa. You'd never guess who he saw over there in North Africa. Bob Hope.
Who?
Bob Hope.
Bob Hope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the fellow on the other side of Dorothy L'Amour. Yeah.
Well, Corporal Tompkins says that he and his unit were way out on the desert when they saw Bob riding towards them. They couldn't believe their eyes. They were sure it was a mirage.
A mirage?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got news for those boys, Linda.
What do you mean?
In a mirage, you see a whole lake, not just one drip.
Now, Bing, you shouldn't talk about Bob like that. I think it was very wonderful and very brave of him visiting the fighting fronts. And don't forget, unlike the fighting men, he was without weapons.
What, without weapons?
Yeah.
How about that nose of his?
Oh, well.
Getting back to the letter here. Oh, let me see. The corporal says there was one thing about Bob that attracted the men more than anything else. One thing that made him tremendously popular with all the men.
Does he say what it was?
Oh, yes, Francis Langford.
Oh. Oh, gee, all those men on the desert who hadn't seen a girl in months, and all of a sudden they were looking at Francis Langford. Gee, I bet they stared and stared.
Yeah. You know, it marked another conspicuous first.
What do you mean?
The first time a whole company was marked all present and accounted for while their minds were AWOL.
Well, anyway, I think Francis and Bob deserve a lot of credit, Ben.
Seriously, they certainly do, Linda. I even offered to ship Bob one of my horses to ride on down at the front, but refused.
Well, naturally, Bing, after all, it's better to be a moving target.
I was going to give him the live one.
Oh, that's different.
Beat Hope to that joke, I know. What's all this talk about Hope? After all, what's he got that a good yank on the nose wouldn't give me?
Bing, do you think you're as handsome as Bob?
That's a fair question, Linda. After all, who am I to answer? I'd rather leave it up to you. Between Bob and me, which one would you pick?
Between you and Bob.
Yeah, who would you pick?
Well, of course, Bing, you know, I would prefer someone with a fine singing voice.
Yes, of course.
Well,
Who do you pick?
Frank Sinatra.
I think we better get back to the letters.
Yeah, I think so, too.
By all means, Linda. And believe ye, old Ed is really happy to get him. Let's slit a few, Linda, and get a gander, huh?
Well, I already have, Bing. The first one is from Kiska. Harry Skiba writes an explanation about the Japs' sudden departure from there. Harry says the American flyer stationed in the Aleutians wrote to a New York model agency, employer of the most beautiful girls in the world, and asked for photos of the lovelies. Then they dropped them all over Kiska after inscribing in Japanese, "Eat your hearts out, rats. This is what we're fighting for." Cute.
That even I could understand. Well, come up with something else, will you, Lindy? Let's see what you got here. What's all about this one from George Radford now of North Africa? He's given a foolproof recipe here. Listen. Says you take one rookie, slightly green, you stir from bunk at an early hour, soak in rain and sun, dress in olive drab or navy blue, mix well with others of its kind. Grate on sergeant's nerves, toughened with maneuvers and king-sized portions of chow seasoned with pretzels, let soak occasionally. Bacon hot temperatures, then cool and cold. Serves 130 million people.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Sounds like a real dish, doesn't it?
Sure do.
Well, here's another good letter from Jimmy Seuss from Sicily. He says that a couple of GIs were assigned to a place outside the city of Palermo one night. Mm-hmm. Now, it was pitch dark and there weren't any lights, so the men groped their way to the assigned shelter, flopped down, and went to sleep. And when they woke up, Sergeant James Langford of Thomaston, Georgia, found himself and his companion sprawled on a fine grain marble floor, surrounded by 17th century paintings, tapestries, and gilded furniture, glinting richly in sunlight that filtered through stained glass windows. Watching them with a sympathetic smile on his face was the owner of the place, Prince Lonzo de Scalea, an allied friend. How do you like that?
Gee, that sounds like the opening scene of another road picture, doesn't it?
Oh, Bing, must there be another road picture?
Oh, yes, there must. We have to keep Hope working to keep him out of the pool hall. Now, don't forget, men, if you have any little items like the ones you've just heard, lay them on us here at the old GI Journal. Just V-mail me, care of Special Service, Los Angeles, USA. Now I think it's about time Trudy Ehrman came up here and joined me in a song.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
All the cattle are standing like statues.
All the cattle are standing like statues.
They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by. But a little brown maverick is winking her eye.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
All the sounds of the earth are like music.
All the sounds of the earth are like music.
The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree.
And an old weeping willow is laughing at me.
A beautiful morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
De-da-da-dee-dee-dee.
I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's wonderful. Everything's beautiful. Everything's going by.
Hello, Bingo.
Jimmy, are you still at the front line?
That's just where I am. I'm figuring out my own plan for the next battle. I brings up 6 divisions to protect my front line.
Yeah?
I brings up 6 divisions to protect my left flank.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 divisions to protect my right flank.
Oh, but Jimmy, what about your rear?
Please, let's keep the discussion on a military basis.
Yeah, we better skip the bustle. We got to hustle. Why did you call me now, anyway?
Where is Kip the bustle? Got the bustle over here.
No, stop.
Please, let the discussion on a military basis.
Why did you call me now, anyway?
It's about a problem in camouflage, Bingo.
Well, let me hear it, Jimmy boy.
Oh, Mr. Crosby.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Mr. Crosby.
Tell me, Jim.
When you camouflage a big artillery gun.
Yes, see what you mean.
Why conceal it carefully with some leaves or greenery?
Tell me.
When a shirt of yours would hide it from the Hun.
Up, 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 Mr. Durante.
Up, up.
Oh, Mr. Durante.
Up, up.
You've a plan that seems to take a slap at me. Now, if you want to shade that gun, hold your nose up to the sun.
I am insulted, Mr. Crosby.
Reverse the charges, Mr. D.
Fine thing, a long-distance duet. Say, Bing, as long as you just started exercising your tonsils, how about giving them a real workout now for the fellas in New Guinea who sent in this swell letter?
Well, let me have a look, Linda.
Oh, well, those lads down in New Guinea would like to join us in an old-fashioned singing bee with Home on the Range.
Well, how's about it, Bing?
How about it? Well, gal, my spurs is on and my legs is bowed. There's just one condition, however. That is that all you men out in the audience here and all you fellas listening in, you got to hop on and sing, too. I'll go through it once so you can catch a few words you might have forgotten. Then everybody latch on the second chorus. And everybody means all of you now. Let's go, Maestro. Charlie, Home on the Range.
Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Everybody on the chorus.
Home, home on the range, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Oh, that was a mellow thing, man. Really mellow. One more chorus of that, we could have run Waring's Pennsylvanians back to Scranton. And on that note, I think it was a B-flat. We got to slam shut the last page of your GI Journal for this time. Don't forget now, anything you can think of, anything at all, that means poems, jokes, commercials, stories, true events, we'll be happy to give it a spread on page one or thereafter. Just V-mail it to GI Journal, Special Service, Los Angeles, USA. So the old groaner says, so long, men.
The GI Journal has been a presentation of the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.